So now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. Here we have a man who has enough confidence in his three slaves to leave them in charge of his entire property and go away on what might be a long journey. But not only that, he also gives each of them a large sum of money to use in his service until he gets back. Now, a talent was worth about 6,000 denarii, and one denarius was one labourer's wage for a day. So 6,000 denarii, if you work it out, comes to about 16 years worth of wages for a labourer. That's just one talent. So this man has given his slaves what for them would be a huge riches to use in his service, to trade with shrewdly and to make more money for their master when he returns. Now, when the master does return, what's he going to find? Will his servants have been active in his service? Will they have made the most of the business opportunities afforded to them? They know that their master can be a very harsh man. So there really is an awful lot at stake here. You've got to take risks and use this money to make more money. Just burying it in the ground is not good enough. You can't do nothing with it. This is the parable of the talents. But what's it got to do with us and with God and the kingdom of heaven? Well, let me assure you, it's not about turning us all into venture capitalists. The kingdom of heaven is not that kind of enterprise. Neither is it, you'll be relieved to hear, a description of God's character. God is not a harsh master, and he does not have slaves. This parable's got a very simple point. Jesus is going away. He's going to come back. And will we be ready when he comes? And what does it mean to be ready? Are we going to be idling our time away to no purpose? Or are we going to use the time well in the service of our Lord? Now, this parable appears towards the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. He's been explaining to his disciples that he won't be with them much longer. He's already commissioned them to carry on the work that he's been doing, demonstrating how the kingdom can break into people's lives through prayer, through the ministry of healing, through working for justice, and just generally being good news to the people around. Jesus and this mission are one. He is the God of mission. He's shown them what God is like through his love and his mercy to all. He's taught them the ways of the kingdom. He's promised them the Spirit. And now with these incredible spiritual riches, they're to go out and to do the kinds of things that he was doing until he comes again. Jesus' whole life and death was about bringing mercy to this broken world. And now we are his hands and his feet to do the same thing. With all the spiritual riches that we have been given, each one of us, according to our abilities and capacities, whether it's one talent, two talents, five talents, however many talents. Well, okay, you say, that sounds like a recipe for exhaustion. And I'm already exhausted. Do you want to make me even busier? Perhaps it's not about being busier, but rather just being more alert to the opportunities that come our way day by day, to be a blessing to those around us, more open to their needs. Perhaps we need to ask God in our own prayers to show us the opportunities that are given day by day, just to be a helping hand, or to bring a word of comfort, or to be an encouragement to somebody. And perhaps we should get away from seeing this parable in too individualistically a way. It can just as easily be a parable about different church communities and the importance of being about the Lord's work in our own parishes, in our own unique neighbourhoods and contexts. Now, I attended Spring Harvest a few years ago, and I was struck by somebody's T-shirt. Printed on their T-shirt, it said, "Jesus is coming back, so look busy." I think it was a joke. Hope it was a joke. Because I don't think Jesus will be looking to see if we're busy when he comes back. I think he'll be pleased to see that we're taking our proper rest. But what I do think will really, really please him will be to see his churches, whether they're large or small, strong or weak, being engaged in some aspect of his mission to be a blessing to the world. I think the long-term future of the church in this country depends on it. But more importantly than that, so does the mission of God. There is too much at stake for us to bury what we've been given in the ground and not to use it. If we don't use it, then those who need mercy are going to suffer. Now, like every organisation, the Church of England often has away days when we devise our mission statements. You know, what is our mission? Well, I'm going to leave you with an old saying. The question is not, does the Church of God have a mission? That's not the question. The question is, does the God of mission have a church? That is, a church on being intent on blessing through focusing on the gifts that he's already given us, like faith, hope and love, and working out there in the world to bring blessing. I think it's worth repeating the collect for today. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy. Restrain us from excess. And revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed in Jesus Christ our Lord. May God give us his Spirit in full measure so that we may be ready to meet him with faith, hope and love when he comes again. Amen.